Let's see.
Okay, so continuing here with Penine Halacha, Hilchot Basar B'Chalav, and we're doing Section Yud Gimel, which has to do with the laws of the Kiraim, the stovetop. So he says, Mutar lishamesh b'otah chatzuvah lebasar lechalav. You're allowed to use the same grates for meat and milk. Mipnei shegamim galash me'at rotev b'sari o halavi al chatzuvah. Even if a little bit would have splattered on the grates, ha'esh shesholetet sham sorefet upogemet et ma shenishpach. The fire that's there would burn immediately whatever was spilled there. V'chein hadin b'kirayim chashmaliyot u'keramiyot. We're talking about electric stovetops and ceramic and different things. Shemutar laniach al oto mishtach pam sireh besari u'pam sireh chalavi. You could do sometimes meat, sometimes milk. Ho'il v'chom ha'kirayim soref et ma sheli'iti nishpach mehem, because the heat will immediately burn up if something would spill onto the grates, onto the stovetop.
I mean, if that stove is gonna be, it's gonna be a batai. Although you're putting the metal on top of it, you're not really touching the thing, the stove itself. Where the spot is? Is this the where the stain is on the stove?
Yeah, but it could be like you move the pot a little bit and then it spills right there and then the next pot goes right on top of it. I mean, that could be. The spills aren't always like to the side. The spills could be on the thing.
Uh-huh.
Okay, anyways. Here is a footnote. We're not going to go through it again. I think we went through it a little bit last time about an induction stovetop. If anybody has any induction heat stovetops where there's no actual like fire and like it's the magnetic field that's really doing the cooking, and then it's a little bit more complicated. So we said that the actual stovetop doesn't have the same level of heat that necessarily would burn everything on contact. So it's a little more complicated. Ayin Sham, if you're interested to figure out what to do, I think he had Stadim Lahakel in that case also, but that's a little more complicated. Okay, now let's say Kaet. So let's say I'm doing meat and milk pots at the same time. So then, leave some space. Because you don't want things to splatter from one to the next. Asirim ve'atavshilim kashirim. Hey, Jeremy. So as long as there's no moisture between the pots, so then there's no transfer of taste. Transfer of taste requires some sort of moisture. When you want to go, you want to take a flavor out of one pot and push it into another pot, it requires a liquid medium between the two.
So you mean you cover the pot, so that if the splash, if you're saying if one of them splash, it hit the outside on the outside of the pot.
We're gonna talk about that case. Yeah, that case is a problem. We're gonna talk. I think he's gonna.
Well, what page are we?
We're on. I don't know exactly what page it is. I'm using the online edition. It's Halacha Yud Gimel. In Basar V'Chalav.
It's page 143.
143.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, so let's say...
So wait, he's talking about the food going into the other pot? Like,
no, he's not talking about that yet. That we'll get to. That's a major issue. Right now, we're just talking about, let's say the pots touch. The pots knock into each other.
Yes.
Okay, so he says...
You're talking the pot to two pots?
Yeah, the two pots knock into each other.
Oh, okay.
There's liquid in between.
Right, only if there's moisture, some sort of... And I don't, it's a machloket whether or not if the... let's say a little bit of... let's say like condensation, whether that's sufficient. You may need... It's a machloket about that. But let's assume that they're dry.
The same if you spoke... So we spoke before, if a one hand is you touch we talk about the salt. It's salt. Remember we talked about
In that case you have a little bit of meat in the salt or a little bit of dairy in the salt or the it came very close.
Does it relate to that also to this guy
Because here we're talking. All we saw so far is that the two pots touch each other. They could be closed. They could be even closed. They could be covered. But the two pots touched each other. One contains meat. One contains dairy. Everything is okay as long as there is no moisture that connects the two in the place where they touch. The pots are okay. Because taste is not transferred through dry utensils. Dry utensils do not transfer taste. Nim haita retivut shechivra b'nehem. If there's some sort of moisture that connects them, begon shetavshil echad galash, let's say one of them had splattered, so there's some splatter from one of them on the outside. So then, what's the halacha? Hatavshilim kisherim, the food on the inside is going to be okay because that small amount of moisture doesn't bring the flavor all the way in. It just affects it on the outside. So the food is going to be okay. However, the two pots are going to be treif. They're going to be not kosher. You're going to have to kasher the pots. So the contents are kasher, but the pots themselves are not kasher. Okay. You just have to pour out the food from the pot. Okay.
Oh, so you're saying that the food is inside it's kosher. So you think the food is kosher,
but the pots are should need to be kashered.
So do you have to take the food out right away or
It's a good question. I don't remember in that situation whether you have to take it out right away or not. Let's see what he says in the next situation and see if that sheds light on this. Okay? Next, yesh la'achmir shelo la'achol ma'achalim shenaflu al mishtoach ha'matachet shemitachat l'chatzuva. Okay, so sometimes underneath the stove grates, you'll have, let's say, like where the flame is, you'll have some sort of collection area. So he says there, sometimes you'll have meat and milk pieces of food. So don't eat anything from there. If it's a thick piece, if shar lachtoch velizrok over kishne centimeter, me'atzad shinaga b'mishtach velachol tashar. So you can cut off two centimeters of thickness. Let's say a big piece of chicken fell under the grates, into hit that metal. So you don't want to throw out that whole big piece of chicken, right? So it says if you cut off 2 centimeters worth, you can eat the rest. But if it's clean, so then
that's
So the whole concern is because there's actual food particles in there, and that's going to make your food not kosher. But if it's clean, so then you don't have to worry about food particles, and you'll be allowed to eat it. You don't have to be worried that there's actual tam that's going to come out. So he says, if I know that there's no meat, it's only dairy falls in, and I know there's no meat since the last time I cleaned it, the food is going to be okay. But this is all going to be explained later on in Parak Lamed Bet. I'm sorry, John.
The question. Now you're saying the pot, if the pot is not, it would, if the dairy hit the, on the dairy pot, it hit the, on the meat pot.
That the food he didn't kosher. Talk about that. He didn't talk about that.
If the food inside is kosher and the pot is not kosher,
He spoke about if there's a little bit of moisture and the two pots touch. So the two pots touch at that place of the small amount of moisture, so then the pots are kosher. Sorry, the pots are not kosher, the food inside is going to be kosher.
What about the stove? What about the stove? If a stove touches the stove touched the pot, that's what you have, it's not, that stove is not kosher.
If it's dry, then it's okay. If it's dry, then it's okay.
No, isn't the stovetop what we said in the beginning? Because it's always burning. It's always
Exactly right. So we assume that anything that's on the stove that fell on the stovetop was already burnt off, and therefore it's going to be kosher. Exactly. Okay. Fine. So anyway, so that's what he says. Now, if it actually splashes, I don't remember if the halacha is the same. I know it's a very complicated area of halacha. If it comes up, let me know, and we'll try to look into it. But I'm pretty sure it's in that same siman in Sadi Bet.
Which case is complicated, you said?
If you have splatter, if you have splatter from one pot onto another pot, the siman is called tipat chalav shenafla betzad ha-kedera. Let's see if you'll find this in Shulchan Aruch. Yeah, Siman Sadibet. So let's just look through if we can get to just quickly pick up something useful from over here. So, one second. Here, look at a safe hay over here. You see a safe hay? So tipat chalav she nafla ala kedera she etzel ha'esh mibachutz. So a drop of milk falls on the pot that's on the fire on the outside. So now the question is, where on the pot did it fall? Im nafla keneged hatafshil, if it fell where the food is, in sarich ela shishim keneged hatipa, shemefa'afat lifnim, v'havi ki'ilu nafla b'tafshil. We can count the volume of the pot, what's inside the pot, against the volume of that drop. And if you have 60 times in the pot against that drop, you have bitul b'shishim. However, v'im nafla b'makom harekan, v'hi mefa'apat v'dofan ha'kedera, ad samuch l'rotev kokach she'en shishim keneged ha'tipa, harei ne'asar oto makom ha'kedera. So if it falls on the empty part of the kli, meaning not where the food is, but on the higher part of the kli, and I'm not sure what this section means. Mifapat b'dofan akadira ad samuch l'rotev kokach she'en shishim keneged hatipa. But for whatever reason, I don't have 60 times the drop. Harei ne'esar oto makom akadira. So that part of the pot becomes asur. V'im ye'ere hatavshil derech makom akadira she'ne'esar. Harei ye'esar hatavshil. If I pour out the food from that part of the pot, it becomes asur. So what should you do? Mizeh takanato she'yanichen akach v'lo yigaba ad she'itzanen. So what can you do? Turn off the fire. Wait till it cools down. Okay? Okay, so that's
if I don't have to wait for 24 hours, no?
No.
What do you mean? Which case are you asking about?
I'm talking about the pot. Do I have to wait for 24 hours?
Before you do what?
Before you pour out the contents.
Before you pour it out, before you make it kasher again, what are you referring to?
Yeah, we're gonna make it kasher the pot.
You said pot. So if you're gonna do hagalah, you have to wait till it's eno ben yomo, correct?
And so for stove, we don't wait for 24 hours. No.
Well, if you're doing libun, if you're using fire to make something kasher, you don't have to wait 24 hours. If you're doing hagalah, then you do have to wait 24 hours. Libun burns it out. It doesn't require libun. Hagalah takes it out and puts it back in. So it's a little bit, that's I think Libun Kal, I don't remember what we hold when it comes to Libun Kal. I think for Libun Kal, which is not actually completely burning it, I think in that case we do require you to wait 24 hours, if I'm not mistaken. Okay.
Now, also, you're making inside the pot, you're also burning it. It's the same thing. Inside the pot. You're also making burning it. It's the same thing with the stove.
No, that's not how Hagalah works. Hagalah, the way it works is that the hot water pulls out any flavor that's inside the pot.
Okay.
It doesn't burn it out. It pulls it out. So therefore, if it's not okay. Ben Yomo, if it's Ben Yomo, so then it's going to go right back in.
Okay.
Right? But if it's, yeah. If it's nothing tam lefgam, so then it's okay. Okay. Saif Vav says, Nagu ha'olam le'esor kishenafla ha'dofan shelo keneged ha'rotev. So the custom is to be machmir if it falls on the section of the pot where there's no sauce. V'davka kishenofel be'ototzad she'eno keneged ha'esh. If it falls somewhere where it's not, there's no fire. If something were to fall, some liquid were to fall where the fire is burning, so we assume the fire burns it right away, and nothing becomes forbidden. In that case, the only way to allow it is going to be shishim. Okay, and if in that case, v'aza kedera havi asura, afilu yesh shishim betafshil keneged hatipa shenafla. So he says, in that case, I guess he's referring to the case of I don't know exactly which case he's referring to, but in the case where you have 60 times against the food, so then you need to make the pot kasher, and then you have to pour out the food from the other side. Okay, and then okay, that's whatever. This gets really complicated over here. But the basic idea is that if it's keneged harotev, if the something splatters where the actual food is on the pot, that part of the pot. So then you need shishim. If it's something splatters somewhere else on the pot, on the top of the pot, it gets much more complicated. Potentially the pot requires hagalah. The food is salvageable, but it's a little tricky. And therefore you're probably gonna have to kasher the pot. Okay? Wait, I'm so sorry. My screen sharing was off, was it? Hello, guys?
Yeah. No, I was just listening. I wasn't following.
Oh, I'm so sorry. I meant to have my screen sharing on. Okay. If you're interested, it's Shulchan Aruch Yoredeya, Siman Sadibet, Saif Hey, and Saif Vav. Okay, normally my students in class scream at me if my screen sharing is off. So I'm just used to that. I guess you guys are a little bit nicer to me. Okay. Good. Back to this. Okay.
Sorry, back on Saif Vav, there was something about a tipa, or if one thing happens and it's not a problem, besides those two examples that we gave.
So it says, Nagu ha'olam le'esor kishinafla ala dofen shelo keneged harotev. If it falls on the wall of the pot, but not where the food is, right, not where the sauce of the pot is, so then it's a problem. The minhag is, even though technically there may be some way of being matir, the minhag is to make the pot asur. But that's only if it doesn't fall somewhere where the fire is actually burning. If it falls where the fire is, we assume that the fire will burn it right away. This is halakha is the basis. I'm sorry?
So the outside of the pot, if it splashes on the outside of the pot, that's
correct.
Then there's a fire there that's going to burn it right away.
So then it's okay, right.
And it says there's a fire there. It means like a heated part of the pot?
No. It means the actual ish, the actual fire. Yeah. Meaning this halakha is the basis for the leniency by the stove, the grates of the stovetop. The reason why we're lenient by the grates of the stovetop is this halakha, because it's keneged ha'esh. Even if there's some not kosher residue food over there, we assume that it became burnt immediately, and therefore it's not going to make any subsequent pots or any subsequent foods forbidden.
And if the fire wasn't on under that pot for whatever reason, then it would be a bigger problem.
Yeah, I mean, if it falls on the side, instead of, I mean, let's assume the fire is on the bottom, right? So let's say it falls on the side, not on the bottom, right? So then, if it's keneged harotev, so then I can have shishim. And with shishim, I think it sounded like from the first halakha that even the pot would be okay, right?
Keneged harotev means even from the outside, or it's talking about on the inside of the pot?
No, that's the chidush. Even on the outside, it's as if it fell in the rotev. Like that's what,
if it's at the level of the food. Right.
In Saif Hey, he says, "Tipat chalav shenafla al kedera she'etzel ha'ashmi b'chutz. Im nafla keneged ha'tavshil, if it's where the food is, ein tzarech al ha'shishim keneged ha'tipat shemefapa lifnim." We assume the drop goes all the way in, it hits the food, I have shishim, it's as if it fell inside the food. And therefore, it sounds like it doesn't even affect the pot. That's the point. But if it falls somewhere else, right, if it falls on the empty part of the pot,
and the pot,
and it goes into the dofen hakedera, so then you whatever, then it gets a lot more complicated.
Right,
and
the pot didn't do, but the food is fine unless it was by the fire.
No. So, yes, you have to pour out the food. You have to let the pot cool down. That's what Shulchan Aruch says. In that case, you have to let the pot is a problem, and therefore you can't pour out the food from that place on the pot, because if you pour it out from that place on the pot, so then the food's going to become not kosher also. So therefore, and Seivav says the minhag is to forbid when it falls shelo keneged ha rotev. Right? It sounds like he's saying even to to even forbid the food.
In that case, we're stuck in that situation. If now you're saying that the pot is not kosher and the food is kosher, when you spit it out, now you're making the food not kosher.
Well, that's what he says in Seif Hey. So you wait till the pot cools down and then you pour it out. That's what he says. But then in Seif Vav, he says that it's a problem. That the minhag is to be machmir, even on the food. If it falls somewhere on the pot, the minhag is to be machmir on the food.
Even the pot is cooled off.
It sounds like from Seif Vav that even the food is going to be asur. Yes. That's what he says. But then he says that but unless I have shishim, unless it's keneged harotev and I have shishim. But then the Ramah says, even if I have shishim and it's keneged harotev, so the kedera is going to be asur, even if I have shishim. And what I have to do is I have to pour out the food immediately on the other side. It sounds like don't wait till it cools down, pour it out immediately from the other side. Again, that's if I have... That's only according to, it sounds like it's only according to the Ramah, and that's if I have shishim keneged the rotev. Okay, and then he says in Seif Zayin, Yesh mishim matir b'shat hadachak, you go be'er Shabbat, afilu shelo keneged rotev, afilu shelo keneged ha'esh, ayde shishim. So some people, if it's shat hadachak, if it's a situation of great need, you could be lenient shelo keneged ha'esh if you have shishim. Okay, this is one of the more complicated simanim in Hilchot Basar v'Chalav. So, FYI, when you get to it, it's a little more complicated. Okay, let's go back to what we were talking about before. Okay, so that's basically what you need to know about stovetops. Just to summarize, that we assume you can use one set of grates for meat and for milk. The area under the grates we usually treat as not kosher, but if Malama said if it's clean, then b'diavad it's okay. And if the pots touch each other, if there's no moisture, it's okay. If there is moisture, so that like something had spilled before, so the pots aren't kosher, the food inside is okay. Okay, and then we saw in Shulchan Aruch that if you have splatter, so then it depends. If it's connected the food, so then it would be batel b'shishim. If it's not connected the food, so then you have more complicated issues. As possible, we even forbid the food itself. Okay, good. Let's talk about
ovens.
Ovens.
I still exactly. I didn't get the last part you said. You're saying that one is so machmir, then you said you're not allowed to eat the food at all. That's what you're saying, right?
The Shulchan Aruch, if I understood the Shulchan Aruch correctly, he says the minhag is, the custom is, that if you have something that falls on the pot on the outside in an area not by the food, but somewhere else on the pot, the minhag is to forbid the food in the pot. That's what it sounds like Shulchan Aruch is saying.
Who'll be holding that? That we should be machmir or be
we should follow the minhag of Maran. I believe so. If I'm not mistaken.
Then therefore the food you have to throw away in that case.
Correct. He says, B'shata dachak, you could be lenient to eat the food if you have shishim. But normally you can't. Yes. Okay. Yud dalit, tanur afiya. Minag Yisrael levatzer et ha-hafrada ben basar lechalav. So the minag of Yisrael is to be careful about the separation between meat and milk. V'apiz noagim rabim leknot tanur im shnei tayim. V'liyachir echal lebisari. So you have a double oven, one for meat, one for dairy. And in Israel, actually, they have double ovens where there's like a large section and there's like a smaller section. So people use the large section for meat, people use the smaller section for dairy. Okay. Oh, likno tanur, im ta'echad uliyachato lechad aminim bilvad. The other option is to use an oven with one section, meat or milk, and dedicate it to that type. If you want to use it once for meat, once for milk, Rasha, you're allowed to. Uvene uvetanai on condition shetiyos lo tavnit miuchedet lebasar, betavnit miuchedet lechalavi, viachpid oto viachpid lachshir oto b'ma'avar sheben shnei aminim adichimu atenu lemeshek kechatzis sha'a al hachom hagavo biyoter. So what you could do is what's a tavnit? Are those the racks?
I don't know.
One second, let me check on Google Translate.
What's ta?
Ta is like a compartment. Like the ta'im are like lockers. Yeah, tavnit is a mold. I don't know what let me look up tavnit hatanur.
Maybe it means like oven trays.
Maybe it could be
like
oven
molds.
Racks. If you're saying you should have separate oven racks for meat and milk,
separate oven trays. Like assuming that you put parchment or something on top, is that possible?
Yeah, but that's obvious. I mean, the food's touching the. Maybe. Okay, I don't know. But anyways, so you should have separate meat and milk. I'm not sure if he's saying separate trays or not. I don't know, but or separate racks. And then you should heat it to the highest setting for half an hour, and to switch it. Okay, and the says the custom is to clean it before you do it. Even those who normally don't search for meat to milk can do it. Makom Sorech, they're allowed to kasher the oven to switch back and forth between meat and milk. Okay, he says in the footnote here, Yitachen Shalitim must be caught. He says it's very possible that the 10 minutes of cooking by itself would be enough to remove all the taste. However, you have to give it some time to get to that top temperature. So therefore, that's why he advises half an hour.
I believe, so I just confirmed, I searched Google Images for like Tavnit Tanur to see what
came up. Yeah, so what do you got?
It looks like cookie sheets, like something that the food would directly be placed on.
It's just obvious, no? Like, that you need separate...
I don't know if you can see
separate
like
cookie trays sheet. For separate cookie sheets for meat and dairy. To me, it sounds like pretty... I'm getting like springform pans over here.
But yeah, that makes
when sense. When I do just
Tavnit. Five different racks is not...
Isn't that odd? I feel like that's a given.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. To me, it seems a little bit. These are like pans. I don't know, different types of, and they're mostly springform pans, but other types of. Okay, I don't know.
Even these, if you leave it in the oven and put it on the highest temperature, this wouldn't be kosher.
So what, it looks from meat to milk and vice versa. From
that answers our question. Not kosher is
trickier, but.
That answers our question of whether Libun Kal needs a ben yomo or not.
No, but that's what's it called? Going from if it's hetera bala, if you're going from meat to parv or dairy to parv, so then you don't need 24 hours. It's only if you're going from not kosher to kosher. I think by Libun Kal you would need a. You need 24. I think so. I could be mistaken, but I think you need 24.
Okay.
Now, Rabbi Noagim.
He's making it seem that you could just swap them whenever you want. You just have to.
Yeah. Again, I'm not sure I mentioned this last week. Although I don't know if I did. But no, I didn't mention it last week. But I remember when I discussed this with Rabbi Willig, he was surprised that people would allow, because Ashkenazim have a minhag, not to kasher things from meat to dairy or vice versa. So Rabbi really was surprised that because Rabbi Forst in his laws of kashrut allows this also. I think this is more than half an hour, but he allows this as well. So he was surprised that Rabbi Forst allowed it. So I think Rabbi Forst says something along the lines that the gzera of not kashering things from meat to dairy and vice versa doesn't apply to ovens. But anyways,
said in the kosher chat, they said not to do that.
Not to do what? To kasher your oven from meat to dairy?
Yeah, they said don't keep changing it because people can get confused. So
yeah, you could get confused, right.
But it's not like contact. It's not like a pot. I feel like it's less of an issue in the first place because everything is...
No, but you might forget if you made it, if it's meat or dairy right now, and then you'll put the wrong...
No. So I'm actually, I assume he'll talk about this, but the issue is really the steam from the foods... is what causes the issue. I mean, we're assuming the steam of the foods has the same status as the food itself. So if you have meat steam and now your oven is meaty and then you have food with dairy steam, the dairy steam will contact with the meat steam upstairs on top of the oven and it will condense and come down and you'll end up with not kosher in your food. That's the issue. But again, there's many leniencies with ovens as well. Whatever, I assume he'll talk about some of this. So let's see. Rabim Noagim, many people of the custom, Shekasher Otsim Le'efot B'Tanur B'Sari O'Chalavi, Machal Parva Sheyeh Mutar Lo'Ochlo Im Shneim Le'im.
Sorry. He also says at the end of that paragraph, B'Shaim B'Shat HaTzorech La'asot Ken. So he's implying that only if you really need to, but he's not saying to do that. Right.
Correct. No. Well, he's saying that meaning that's for the people who are mehader, not to use the same one. He's saying that's like level three. Meaning level two is that you should kasher it in between to go from one to the other. I think that's what he's saying. Okay. Now, Rabim Noagim Shekasher Rotsim Le'efot B'Tanur B'Sari O'Chalavi. מאחר פארבה שים ותאר לאכול עם שני המינים, מחממים לפני כן את התנור על החום הגבוה ביותר למשך חצי שעה כדי לעשותו פארבה. So some people say that if they have a meat or a dairy oven and they want to cook, bake something parv in it, so then they'll put the oven on the highest temperature, same thing to make it parv. והרוצים להקל רשאים להפות את המאכל הפרווה בלא הכשרה, שכן ברור שאין שום אפשרות שיורגש במאכל הפרווה, טעם בשר או חלב. So he says that he thinks that if you want to be lenient, you can be lenient to bake your challah in your meat oven or rice, you know, or dairy oven. Now, ta'u, they made a mistake.
That's assuming it wasn't used in the, within 24 hours. Or
I was going to say, Ben Yomo is really not a thing for him.
No, but that ovens in general are different because there's a lot of, first of all,
there's a lot of space.
I assume he'll discuss this in the notes, but in order to actually create the zeya, many people hold to create that moisture, the steam that will cause the transference of taste. Many people hold you need to have a very wet food with a lot of liquid that will cause sufficient steam to create this transfer of taste. So if you're cooking or baking dry foods, the dry foods very likely won't create any transfer of taste. So therefore, most of the time, the foods are not going to be moist enough to create enough moisture that will actually create a problem. So that's why I think he's being so flexible. Okay. Let's say they made a mistake and they cooked a meat pot, they cooked a meat food and a dairy food in a meat oven. בדיעבד התפשול החלבי כשר, בדיעבד is כשר, שכן בפועל לא נכנס טעם המשי של בשר וחלב, because in practice, there was in actuality, there was no actual flavor of transference, ולכן היותר אם נותרו בתנור שריות בשר, ייתכן שיעלו עדים, ובכל היותר, worst case scenario, if there were some remnants of meat, so maybe some of the steam went up, שאולי ייתנו ריח של בשר ותפשיל החלבי, will create some sort of meat smell, ובדיעבד ריח אינו עושה, ריח is not אסור בדיעבד. והתנור צריך הכשר בחימום על החום הגבוה, למשך חצי שעה, but you should make the oven kosher. So he thinks that בדיעבד, it's all okay. So let's see what he says here in footnote.
Wait, if you accidentally cooked the wrong item in the wrong oven, it's kosher?
It's kosher, that's what he says, yeah. But but again, I think you're cooking something that had a lot of liquid in it.
Right.
I think it would be a little different.
Okay. No, you put a pizza in the meat oven.
Right, so that lechora would be okay. But you have it. Okay. So let's see. Footnote 15. Bidin Zeya. How do Edim or Adim Shehit Avu, the
Zeya is steam?
Zeh is steam, yeah. So the adim are like the vapors which became thickened. Right? So this is what I was telling you before. In order for the zeah to forbid the food, you have very particular conditions. Right? Like when you open up the pot, right? And you look underneath the pot cover, so there you have a lot of moisture from what's inside the pot, because the steam is not the actual, what you're seeing in there is not the actual food particles, but it's usually condensed steam, but it's very intense steam that's condensed. Lachen mi'ikar hadin, im afu ma'afeh bisari, u'ma'afeh chalvi bevat achat, bebatechad, mi'ikar hadin, if you cooked meat and dairy the same time in the same oven, mutar. Even if there were open pots, as long as there wasn't a large amount of steam that went from one to the other, it's a mutar. But in a situation of doubt, you should ask a question. Mutar leefod ulvashel bisari achar chalavi or chalavi aschar bisari b'tanur shelo v'lo shum hachshara. Some people allow one to cook meat or milk one after the other without any hechsher. Ki ein lachashosh lezeah she notura mehaafia o habishul hakodmin. Because you don't have to be concerned about any zeah that came from the previous baking or cooking. Horeo v'hem disrabim meshach afia b'habishul. Because anything that goes up, any zeya is going to get completely burnt up and evaporated. That's the opinion of Beit HaYotzer, Eben Yikara, Yaskil Avdi, and Harav Kapach. That's opinion number one. V'yesh omrim, shemutar levashav le'efod b'oto teh pam b'sar v'pam chalabi, adi hachshrat ha'tanur b'neihem, b'chimum b'chom ha'gavoh b'yoter, shu kelibun kal. If you do libun kal, shemivatal tazeya shu'ulai nivla b'difanot ha'tanur, you'll get rid of any of the, anything that went in. Va'af im notru shi'are ma'achalim, if there's any food left over, he's sorfatah be'ofen shelo tesei mehem zeya she'yichola le'esor, so that nothing can really come out. V'chein dat or le'tzion, siach nachum, devar chevron, harav tupik in shut kol Eliyahu, tefilah le'moshe, v'chein olem b'divrei minchat shelomo u'mishne halachot. Okay? So you have a lot of sources over here that say you can use libun kal, meaning set the oven to the highest setting, and kasher it. V'yesh machmir, the next level of it, so
in what case is that for libun kal?
I mean, again, you use the oven for meat or dairy, and now you want to use it for the other one.
Ah.
So you heat the oven up for half an hour to the highest setting. It takes some time for it to get to the highest setting. That, let's say, 10 plus minutes on the highest setting should really extract anything that's problematic, or at least burn it or extract it, whatever. Okay, v'yesh machmirim v'sovrim she'en lishtamesh v'oto teh pav lebisari v'pav lechalavi v'mnei hachasha shema tetze ze'ah mishiyare min echad v'tavliya tav min hashini. Some people say don't do it because we're concerned about ze'ah. She'ken le'itim nishpachat sham mamashut chalavit o b'sarit v'yesh lachos she'yafu o yivashlu et min hashini b'lo she'inaku ota. We're concerned people are going to cook the other type without cleaning it, and there may be real food there, so therefore it's a problem. They're going to forget which one, and they're not going to be machshir, so it's not a good idea. So that's the opinion of Maharsham, Chalkat Yaakov, and Chal Yitzchak, Lahoro Natan. Omnam Tana Merkazit V'divreihem Hayta Kishura L'Tanurim Be'avar She'nisharim Behem Harbe Yoter V'Shirayim Ha'Ma'afeh V'Bishur HaKondim. All the ovens didn't burn up all the anything that spilled so well. Before the Achar B'dikot Rabot, Yitvaresh in Lachshosh Shehelu Makom, Vein Efshur Lehagish Ta Mizeat Shiare HaMachal HaKodem. So L'Maaseh, after a lot of research, he's not so concerned. L'Maaseh Halacha Keshita Emtzait, Sheshad Yishlemesh V'oto Teh Pam L'Chalavi V'Pam L'Bisari, Adi Hachshar B'Nehem Kivivuai L'Mala. Okay, the Halacha follows the claim that you could be Machshir in between. So he's machmir to wait 24 hours, even with a tera bala, which is interesting. If I have something that has a lot of steam, okay, not like what I was saying before. He said, Libun Kal actually burns them. When you burn out the reason, you don't have to wait 24 hours. Okay? Now he says, Rabbim Noagim, he thinks you don't have to wait 24 hours. Rabbim Noagim, to avoid problems of confusion. This is not a requirement. And he really can do whatever he wants. So you don't need it because of Naparnat, as we discussed earlier, because of Naparnat, you don't really need to kasher, but there are people who have the kasher as well. Okay, so again, so some people have the minhag not to use the same oven for both at all, right? He says if you want to be machshir, you're allowed to, and from one type to parv, then some people have the custom to be machshir, but imikar don't have to do that either. So let's say it was meat and then parv. Interesting. You can use the cooking of parv on the highest setting as a hechsher to now use it for dairy. Okay, fine. Because it makes it kosher.
Does that imply?
So let's say you use the wrong pans, so then look later on and see Man Lamed Gimel. Yes, Jeremy, a question?
Yeah, that idea of using parv as part of the hakshara process.
Yeah, if it's a pious setting.
That obviously wouldn't work with pots because the process of making them kosher would be different. But let's say you're waiting. Let's say you want to wait 24 hours between. Let's say you need to kosher a pot or something. Or let's say you wanted to switch it over for whatever it may be. Can it be? I'm trying to find a situation where it would work. Can you cook something, let's say parv in that pot in the meantime? Would that count?
That's a very good question.
You got it. You understand?
Yeah. I mean, does cooking something parv in the pot restart the count? Right. Yeah. So that's a big machloket amongst the Rishonim. And I thought Shulchan Aruch was lenient on this question, but I once saw the Oyu as like a daily halacha thing, and they thought even according to Shulchan Aruch, you would have to be machmir. I haven't had a chance to really look into the matter since then. That was a couple of years ago. I haven't had to, but you should know it's a big machloket amongst the Rishonim whether or not cooking water would restart the count of the 24 hours.
I would say it would be like a case, let's say, if you wanted to wait 24 hours for a dairy pot before you thought that, like, okay, now I might be able to use it to eat it with something else.
Let's say before Pesach you want to kasher something and you want to be machmir that you're only be machshir if it's eno ben yomo. You know, it could happen in that case. Let's say your sink. It happens a lot, right? Let's say you want to be machshir your sink for Pesach, and you just washed your dishes in it last night, right? Everything was soapy, so there's no like real time going into your sink. Now you want to do irui on the sink, you pour hot water on the sink the next morning. So that it comes up. The postgame discussed that question. Okay, Chavra.